I'd like to start this message tonight with a little story, which is only that a week ago, my wife and I met a couple who both lost their jobs as a result of the coronavirus. And while they wanted to talk about that because of their circumstance, actually what seemed to trouble them more was about their children. They got two smallish children, and the children had just gone off down the road to be with their grandparents, and they'd been strictly instructed not to touch their grandparents. We think about that, it's the most unnatural thing. You know, grandparents want to hug their children, parents want to hug their children, and physical contact like that is just part of any relationship between parents and grandparents and their children. And I thought about it and I thought, you know, I haven't even shaken anyone's hand in months. And this thing has affected us in all sorts of different ways. Then I thought about someone that had no fear of contamination, no anxiety that they would be affected by the contamination, disease, and the things around him. Wasn't even affected by the people around him in the sense of being contaminated by them. Now, we might not be contaminated by viruses or disease, but we can easily get affected by the people around us. There's someone in the Bible who was like that, which is the Apostle Peter. He got into company and he got affected by it, as we know, and he ended up denying the Lord Jesus. But the person I wanted to talk about was Jesus. The Lord Jesus was not affected, contaminated by sin or disease or any such thing. A wonderful person, a wonderful man, a living man. He's a coming man as well. He's coming soon. So I wanted to read from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 8. And in verse 22 of chapter 8, it tells us, and he, that is Jesus, comes to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man and beseech him that he might touch him. And taking hold of the hand of the blind man, he led him forth out of the village. And having spit upon his eyes, he laid his hands upon him and asked him if he beheld anything. And having looked up, he said, I behold men, for I see them as trees walking. Then he laid his hands again upon his eyes, and he saw distinctly, and was restored, and saw all things clearly. And he sent him to his house, saying, neither enter into the village, nor tell it to anyone in the village. So this story about the Lord Jesus and this one man is very interesting, because the Lord Jesus met other people that were blind and healed them, and no two incidents were the same. And what we find here is that there were those who brought this blind man and beseeched him he might touch him. A wonderful thing, you know, if you're a Christian, to want to bring someone to blessing, bring someone to where they might be blessed, hear about the Lord Jesus, read about him. I'd encourage anyone who loves the Lord Jesus listening tonight to have a love for souls, to see who you might bring. You know, parents, when your children are growing up, you long for them to come to know the Saviour. And then you think of the friends you have and your neighbours and your colleagues. You know, some of us have prayed for people for 20 years. We carry on doing it because we want God to bless them. And here there were those who beseeched him. They pleaded with the Lord Jesus. Elsewhere we find those who were prepared to lift a man. These four people that lifted a man and took him up and lowered him down through the roof of a house. How keen they were for his blessing. They bring him a blind man and beseech him. You know, if you've never heard the gospel before, it's wonderful you can hear it tonight. And if you've heard it before and you've never responded, you've never talked to the Lord Jesus personally, you know, there are those who long, who beseech, who pray continually for your blessing. So they bring him, this blind man. And what does the Lord do? The Lord doesn't just give him a word. In this case, the Lord takes hold of the hand of the blind man. Wonderful thing that was, you know, for a blind person, they've got to trust the other person to lead them safely. You know, the gospel's wonderful. The Lord Jesus took him by the hand. The Lord, as it were, is reaching out to you tonight, just to take your hand, as it were. It's so close to just take hold of you and look after you and take care of you for the rest of your life and into eternity. And this man let the Lord Jesus take him by the hand. That step of faith was all that was required. Such a small thing in some ways. Such a small thing. The Lord Jesus took hold of him. Took hold of the hand of the blind man. I think about the hands of the Lord Jesus. You think of the gentleness of his hands. You think of him taking hold of the child and sitting in the midst. You think of him touching the leper, touching the eyes of a blind person. You think of feeding those who needed fed. You think of how his hands were used every day for the blessing of men and women and children. And ultimately, his hands were used for our eternal blessing, for those of us who've trusted in him. But the nails were put through his hands, and he was nailed to Calvary's cross. What cruelty. I wonder if it affects you as much as it affects me when I think about it. The Lord that died there for me. But the Lord took him and led him forth out of the village. Now the Lord could have kept him in the village, but there were lots of other people there. And the Lord wanted to deal with him and bless him individually on his own. You know, you can't come to Jesus in a crowd, as it were, along with all kinds of other folk. You have to come on your own. That doesn't mean to say that you have to be on your own. I once worked with a man who, many years ago, who told me about his conversion. And he went to a football ground in 1984, and the evangelist Billy Graham was speaking. And he said there were thousands of people there. But he said it was just like God was just speaking to me. You know, we might be in a crowd, but we come into blessing on our own, individually. I wonder if you've had that experience of coming to Jesus yourself. Some people have very distinct recollections, memories of when the Lord spoke to them. The Apostle Paul was one, could talk about the Damascus Road. There were others who can speak about when the Lord called them. Distinct moments in their life. If you love the Lord Jesus, you don't have to worry about a distinct moment, as it were, in your life. Someone wrote many years ago, you know, you don't need to know your birthday to know you're alive. What matters is now. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Have you repented? Then you belong to him. So the Lord led him forth out of the village. The Lord wanted to speak to him personally. You might think, well, I live in a world full of thousands and millions of people. How can the Lord have time for me? It's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one by whom also he made the worlds. You think of everything that we see. God trusted that to him. And he's the most amazing person. We can sing about him, write about him, pray to him. We can never exhaust the majesty of Jesus. Never. Never say. Hymn writer said many years ago, beyond all praise of tongue or pen. And I think about how the Lord has looked after me, saved me, kept me, guided me, looked after me, and one day he's coming for me. So the Lord took him out, and having spit upon his eyes, he laid his hands upon him. You know, the touch of the Lord Jesus, the moment, the things that you can reflect on your life when you know the Lord touched you, as it were, spoke to you, drew close to you in a particular way. Everyone can, who's a lover of the Lord Jesus, can be able to speak of it, to know that there was a moment when the Lord drew distinctly alongside them, as it were, and spoke to them. And he laid his hands upon him. You know, this man would never forget the experience. And he asked him if he beheld anything. This man had made the step of faith of being led by the hand by Jesus. And then the Lord had something to ask him. And he said, well, he looked up and he said, I behold men, for I see them as trees walking. You know, the context of this passage is that they were the disciples, we can read earlier in this passage and later, that they weren't quite sure about everything. And who of us would say we see everything distinctly? If you've come to the Lord Jesus, wonderful thing, you find your sins are forgiven, the relief and peace that goes with that. But then we want to know more and see things more clearly. And especially in the current time where things are so confused with this virus and its effect. It's affecting all our lives, affecting our ability to have normal relationships with other people, see them, have them into our house, eat with them and so on. And affecting many of us at work in very difficult ways. So we want to be able to see more clearly, and I think this passage would speak to me, and I trust to you to trust the Lord Jesus and ask him that we might see things clearly, because he's able to help us to see things more clearly. This man said, I behold men. And it might be that you've come to the Lord and then you're sort of taken up with people and what they might have to say. It's a good thing if there's Christians to help you and to bless you with helping you with understanding the word better. There were those in the scripture who helped others to understand the scripture better. We can read about a man called Apollos who was helped by two Christians, a married couple, to understand the Bible better and the word of God better. But he saw men as trees walking. You know, that was a strange thing to see, men as trees. You know, a tree is a great big thing, an outsized thing to see men as trees. Strange thing to see in a way. I just trust we haven't got men and what people say in front of us when we have Jesus to turn to. Then he laid his hands again upon his eyes and he saw distinctly and was restored and saw all things clearly. You know, I trust that we can see the Lord Jesus clearly where he is in heaven. Though we can't see him physically, but through the eyes of faith we can see and know that he's in heaven. He's gone into death. He's shed his precious blood. He's risen again. Praise be his name. He's ascended to the glory. He's at God's right hand. And one day he's coming. And I know he's coming for me. And I trust you know he's coming for you. It's a wonderful hope when there's all the things around us to know that everything is in his hands. That's the most important thing, to know your sins are forgiven, to know the blood of Jesus addresses every question of sin and failure, wickedness, wrong thoughts, wrong deeds, wrong actions, wrong speaking, everything, past, present, future. But to know your Saviour is in heaven, watching over you, guiding you, looking after you until the moment he comes again. That's a wonderful sight, as it were, vision to have. He was restored and saw all things clearly. The gospel message is that for those who, as it were, are spiritually blind, can't see who Jesus is, that their eyes might be opened to see who Jesus is. You know, lots of people in the world know about Jesus. They know about him, they can speak about him. Some people speak about him with perhaps not even knowing about him. It's one thing to know about him and be able to tell the story of the gospel, It's one thing to know him, not about him, but to know him for yourself. I think every Christian can say something about the Lord Jesus. The man in John's Gospel chapter 9, another blind man, he was asked about him and he says, "One thing I know." I trust we all know one thing. The Lord Jesus has given us the sight to see by faith who he really is. God's Son. God's provision of Saviour. Son of God, wonderful Saviour, wonderful Shepherd, wonderful Friend, a man in the glory, a man that's soon coming, and coming for me. I trust he's coming for you, I trust you have that hope. And for those who've loved the Lord for many years, I trust that we're among those who beseech him, that he might touch him, as we read earlier, that we are praying for others and desiring their blessing. May you be blessed. May we all be encouraged. You know, if you've become a bit disappointed and a bit down with the situation, I think we can all, as it were, once again, put our hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus. You know, once you first come to him, you're safe forever. But sometimes you can get away in your thoughts and you can get down and get very preoccupied with the world around you and what's going on and the miserable things we can read about in the paper. And I come back to when I got married 28 years ago next month, and someone gave out a hymn, and the hymn said this: "Take thou our hand, Lord Jesus, thou knowest best, guide us at last, blessed Saviour, to God's own rest. We cannot tread without thee, the pathway true. We need thee near, whatever we say or do." May the Lord bless you for his name's sake. Amen.